Coming up on TMS, how you should and should not be sleeping.
Whole Foods was all out of birds.
YouTube is not blocking your videos.
Florida man brings the party back to prison.
Stephen King wishes he was George R.R. Martin.
Harrison Ford is in a wheelchair, Dad.
Ryan Johnson gets to make Star Wars movies now.
Sting is stingy, or is that stingy?
It's stingy. Okay. Yeah, you got it. Nice. Cool. Major spoilers.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Hello. Yes. I'm Van Damme. It was 22 years ago today. I was alone in the Rockies. My clothes were taken by big sweaty bears. I was scared. I was left with nothing except my tight leopard print on the pants. My nipples were so cold, they started talking to me. Let me tell you, friends, that was the closest I ever been to the ice-cold refreshment of a Coors Light. Yeah, Coors Light. The world's most refreshing beer.
You will agree.
They are all that is man. This is The Morning Stream.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream for Monday, April. Nope, it's June. June 23rd, 2014. Why would I say April? What the hell's that about? That seemed really weird
to
say.
That seems like an odd month to just pull out.
Yeah, I don't like what it might mean. I don't like the idea behind it. But hey, it is June. It's way toward the end of June. This is likely our last full week of shows before the Nerdtacular week hits us.
Well, it's definitely our last full week of shows before Nerdtacular hits us. There's no likely about it.
Is that right? It is right, well, isn't it?
That is right. So I'm definitely not going to be able to do a show on Wednesday or Thursday unless we do a...
No Wednesday, no Thursday. Okay. It ain't happening. There's no way. There's going to be so much going on. Well, Thursday, we're all here. Like, it's right. That's the day. It's Wednesday, people are driving and traveling and flying and I'm planning and, you know, slowly dying. So you chill, everybody. Nothing. Next week, you get a Monday, you get your Tuesday. And that's all you get.
We'll see, and we'll even see about that.
Yeah, we'll see how that all works out for whoever's involved.
We'll see. Yeah, I might be doing some freelance to get caught up.
Yeah, so who knows? Every year, it's a tenuous, Nerdtacular week is a tenuous time.
It is.
And
exactly.
So you cannot count on much, except this week, that we love though, you. Yeah, this week's fine. Yeah. Other than I am still in the throes of the worst antibiotic treatment I've ever had. And you got to understand, guys, at home, this isn't like when you get a cold or a, you know, strep or something. You get a little 5 to 7 day easy street is what I like to call it. This is like hardcore, awful, tear you up inside, put you down, make you feel like garbage all day. 10 day regimen of two giant horse pills that you have to take 3 days or 3 times a day. It's bad. It's real bad. I don't ever want to do it again, ever. Honestly, if it flares up again, Brian, I think I'm going to say, hey, why don't you just go in there and take that sigmoid colon out? Why don't you go in there and just cut it out?
Just cut that section out.
Yeah, can you do that?
Yeah, I mean, people have even suggested that in the chat room. Is that that's something that would work, right?
Yeah, it's the last straw because you don't want to remove. I mean, you're literally removing a huge chunk of your body, of your internal organs.
Yeah, but who needs some of that stuff in there, right? It's all, you know.
Right. It's all extra.
I've seen Alien. I saw what Ash had inside. It's just a bunch of tubes and milk. Yeah. You just live on that, right?
And there are complications, you know, that are associated with it. And there's all sorts of stuff you have to deal with. But that surgery is better than it's ever been. And, you know, if it had to go that way, it does. But they definitely consider it like option number last. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. I'm glad the Chadpool's got it all figured out, though, guys.
Yeah,
I'm glad
they want you. See, they only care about your health, and they want a solution that doesn't mean you have to go, that you have to suffer through this every once in a while, right? They just want it done and dealt with.
Yes, the accredited course, group doctorisms of the Tadpool.
And of course, it's not their body.
No, it's easy for them to say. Everybody, I've noticed everyone has advice, by the way.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I've gotten one email from a doctor who has great advice and his is the best and I have enjoyed what he has had to say. But there have been many more who are like,
why don't you just stick a carrot up there? Maybe that'll fix it.
I heard vegetables are good.
They're supposed to be good for you. Why wouldn't they be good going in that end? Anyway.
Listen, I would take 100 tadpoles over one piece of advice from WebMD.
That's a good point. That's what I'm saying. That's a good point. You know what's good, though, is Mayo Clinic. They're pretty good. Their website.
Oh, really?
Actual information, yeah. Not just stuff to freak you out, which is good. Hey, well, we're doing this anyway. We're doing a show, and here we are, and my comfort be damned. We're going to soldier on. A quick reminder, do not bring booze to Snowbird. All right, moving on to the next topic.
You will only hear that like 4 or 5 more times, people.
Yeah, and there's booze there. You can drink there. Yeah. Just don't bring it up. We don't want to mess up their liquor license stuff.
If we didn't have booze there, we probably wouldn't have the night attack guys.
No, right? they wouldn't survive. How would they live?
I don't think we're going to make it this year.
Hey, are you Charlie Day?
That's my Schwood. Oh. No, that was my Schwood.
Oh, it was your Schwood. Oh, yeah. All right. Sorry. I thought you were doing Justin.
I was doing Jerry B. Listen.
Keep going. I'm all ears.
The whole booze industry is...
He's New Yorker now. He's from Jersey. I like it.
Yes. He's all more right. Charlie Day than we even realized.
Well... It'll be fun to see those guys. That I know. This I know. It is known. All right. So we're gonna talk about some things here. We got some stuff to talk about. Brian, you and I are both notoriously, I don't know, we're not great sleepers, right? We've talked about it before. You got your CPAP there, your robot.
And that does well for me. I mean.
Sure.
Yeah. But there are sometimes I just wake up and it's like, you know, it's 4 o'clock in the morning. I guess I'll go watch some Justified.
Yeah. Exactly. It's the middle of the night. Let's watch some TV stuff. So I got this guide here, the guide to the best and worst sleep positions. There are really only 3.
Yeah. Well, there's 4, really, if you count the left side and the right side.
Well, true. Positions. Good point. We're going to just count the one.
The internet has become nothing but lists.
Yep,
right.
It really has.
Here are the top 4 sleep positions.
Yeah, bet more than that though. Now those lists start with headlines like "You won't believe the top 4 sleep positions." That's how link bait works today.
Right.
Keep your eye on my comic today.
Totally it. That is absolutely it.
I have a really dumb link bait joke going up today, so people should check that out. Now this pros and cons list that I found, and these the ensuing diagram/chart seems to be aimed at primarily women here, but that's okay because, you know, whatever. You and I are kind of feminine in a weird way. Here are the 3 positions that they talk about. On your back, on your side, or on your stomach, right? Those are your 3 sleepy time positions typically for most people.
Sure.
Some may be up on their knees and in some sort of fetal crunch. I don't know. I can't speak to them. But for the most part, this is most people.
One of these 3, yeah.
I am mostly on my back. That is the kind of sleeper I am, yeah.
Wow.
I don't snore, but I used to, and then I lost that weight, and I don't snore anymore.
Hey, snore! You don't have to snore anymore!
Exactly. So, that's funny. I was just thinking that same thing. So, there are 3 areas. Two are positive. 1 is bad on your back. The bad is it worsens snoring. The good is it minimizes wrinkles and breast sagging. This is specifically about the ladies. I don't think our breasts.
It also appears to be a good position if you're wearing a really short skirt.
Yes. Look at this person. But in the other 2, they're wearing like Superman tights.
Right. Odd. Leggings or something. Yeah.
Also, her sleeve. She's wearing on the one where she's on her stomach. She's got a sleeve on the one side, but no shirt on the other somehow. I don't know what's happening there.
Yeah. She's just wearing 1 sleeve because her boobs are definitely exposed in that sleeping on her stomach. And also, sleeping on your stomach is much better for you if you have long hair.
Yeah, exactly. Because that just lays back. And then, it's all bobbed in the other one. What's going on here?
I know. It's like different.
Different ladies, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, anyway. And then if you sleep on your stomach, it also minimizes acid reflux, promotes digestion, that sort of thing, and is good for your guts. Although, doesn't seem to be helping me. All right. So, 2 positives, 1 negative on your back. On your side,
right?
2 negative, 2 positive. Lessens snoring, improves circulation, preferred position when pregnant. It's good for your guts, for pregnant ladies. But may cause shoulder and hip pain. Worsens wrinkles and breast sagging. My breast sagging could use a little more helpening, not worsening.
Helpening.
So we got 2 and 2 there, right? So 2 positives, right. 2 negatives.
And that's my sleep position. I sleep on my side.
I'll end up there frequently, but I'm mostly on my back. But then some shifting will occur, and that's usually where I am when I shift. So I'm a combination of 1 and 2 there. Number 3, on your stomach. Now, when I was a kid, I used to do that all the time. I can't do it now.
No, I can't either.
Hurts my back.
My neck, yeah, it hurts my neck. Like I can,
yeah, not long. It's no longer possible. When I was a kid, no problem, man. You could sleep on a piece of cement; it didn't matter. Mm-hmm. So this one's got 2 negatives, 1 positive. The 1 positive is lessens snoring. Negatives are worsens wrinkles and breast sagging, and may cause neck and back pain. So, how do you sleep, dear listener? On your back, on your front, on the side, or something else? Let us know. TheMorningStream@gmail.com.
There you go.
Yeah. We'll put that link in the show notes. You can see what that is. No, we won't. I'm not going to bother. It's too much of a pain.
I put it in the tadpole for everybody.
Good enough. Good enough. Mm-hmm.
Just do a search for HuffPost, Huffington Post sleep position.
Yeah. And you'll find it. Mm-hmm. Somebody the other day said, I put a tweet up that said, check out this interview on NPR's Fresh Air with John Oliver. It was really good.
Mm.
And this guy writes back immediately and goes, link, please. And I said, Google it. Literally, if you copy and paste what I wrote and Google it, you get the episode. I think I'm done Googling things for people. I think I'm done with that.
Let me Google that for you.
Yes. All right. I went back to Whole Foods. You want to know how this went?
Oh, I told you. Because last time you got flipped off in the parking lot
By a hippie.
By a hippie.
Big time hippie. Sure. Yeah. Aging
Willie
hippie.
Nelson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Aging old man hippie. Flip me off.
Get your car back on the road again.
His shirt looked hempish. Mm-hmm. It looked tie-dyed-ish. It was a grim scene the first time I was there. So I went again and got some things there. I actually went inside, right? And bought some items. Got some stuff the doctor recommended to help me with this stupid antibiotic treatment, because I had some good stuff there for that. Some fish oil and that kind of garbage. Uh-huh. So I picked up some of that, got some grapes. I love some grapes. So I got some grapes. A couple of little things. I like ham turkey. Turkey ham, rather. You ever had that?
So it's really turkey, but it's flavored with spices and stuff.
It's a ham. Well, yes, it's a turkey. It's turkey that is cured in such a way that it's not that it's supposed to taste like ham. It's that it's a ham of a turkey, if that makes sense. It's kind of like saying, what's it like? I can't think of anything else. Oh, I know what it is. It's like, no, that doesn't work. I was going to say it's like an Accord hybrid. It's like an Accord, but it saves gas. But there's no connection there. That sucks. That's terrible comparison. That's awful. What was I doing? Right. What was I saying? The turkey ham's good. I like it. And it's good. It doesn't seem to bug me. It doesn't seem to be a problem food for me with this whole thing going on. So
good.
Anyway, I'm in there and we do what we got to do. It's Kim and I, and we leave, and I get out in the parking lot and I sit in the car and I leave it on for a minute. And I just think, hey, let's see if we can.
You're just baiting the hippies.
Yeah. Trolling them. Let's see if I can recreate the circumstances under which somebody like him might emerge.
Flip me off every time I come here.
Just to test it, because it's been driving me a little bit nuts as to why he did this. So I sat there, car idling, thinking, well, my clear disregard for the environment will surely call him out of the woods or wherever they hide. And nothing, nobody. I didn't get a single. Yeah, the people crossed, walked past, didn't even notice us, didn't have a problem, and they looked kind of hippie like. So, my bait didn't work. My automobile version of link bait did not pull anybody in.
And, so next time, get out of the car and yell, hey, I've got my car running for the last 3 minutes.
Yeah, man.
Anybody got anything to say about that?
What do you think, you damned hippies? All right. YouTube, here's correction. You know, like you go to the New York Times and they might have like a correction for some article they screwed up the week before. We have a correction on the show, and I'm here to share it with you. YouTube is not blocking your videos if you are an artist and you don't sign up with their deal, right? We talked about that and we were like, oh, they're going to block independent artists, Jack White and all, everybody like that. They're all screwed. No. Okay. They just, if those artists refuse to sign up with one of these deals or to sign up on the program, they are not going to be monetizing those accounts.
Okay. See, now I thought it was that they just weren't going to include them in the streaming service. So they'll still include them in the streaming service. You just won't get any money for
it. You will get no money for it. Okay. If you're deemed worthy to be in the service, I mean, I don't know how. See, that's still a good question, because if you're some small beef seeds level band, how are you? Are you just on naturally in the stream? I mean, you're just on YouTube no matter what. That doesn't change.
Sure. Sure. But as far as whether or not you're part of the streaming service.
Yeah, the streaming service, the offline service, the other stuff they're going to offer with this music-specific service, that you're just not going to get money from that. Whether they play you or not is a good question. My guess is they won't, because you just won't be included at all in the program.
Yeah.
But you'll be on YouTube all you want, and you still monetize the way you normally do. So if you're Pomplamoose and you refuse to be on this deal, they may not be streaming Pomplamoose to anybody for this paid streaming service, but you're still having millions of views on your videos on YouTube, and you're still making revenue from that.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
It does make sense.
It's a giant difference.
Thank you for clearing that up.
Yeah. David West and many others wrote in. I'm using David's name because he was
including Tom.
Yeah. Including Tom. Tom talked a bunch on Current Geek this Friday about it and kind of cleared it all up. So there you go. Don't worry. Everything's fine. We are look, when we make mistakes on this show, we are more than happy to admit our wrongdoing. All right? I wanted to record this.
I never shy away from a chance to admit when you're wrong.
Yeah. It's a good thing to do. It's healthy. Don't you think? It's good to admit when Scott is wrong. I agree with that. So,
welcome to Revelation.
You hear the start of that there and you think, wow, what's going on?
I've heard him in forever on this show.
It's a new one about him seeing the apocalypse in a Miracle Whip ad.
And oh, of course.
I didn't capture any of this yet. I'm going to do that later because it's 8 minutes and I want to kind of break it down to its important parts.
Of course, the creamy goodness does signify the leopard.
That's right. And he's got a picture of the devil that's in those Miracle Whip ads. You know, the little kind of chubby-looking mustache, goatee-wearing devil.
Yeah,
yeah. He's got all kinds of things to say about him. It's really super interesting, and I'm going to capture all that for tomorrow. So, something to look forward to, guys. A little preview.
Nice.
The man who sees the apocalypse and everything, including a Miracle Whip commercial, coming up tomorrow.
By the way, I want to throw out a big happy birthday to Jay Valentine, JJ Valentine.
Oh, yeah. JJ turned older today. It's great.
He turned older.
Mm-hmm. You know how I know that?
How?
Skype.
Yeah.
Skype told me. Is that how you figured it out?
That's how I figured it out, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
I wasn't Facebook, people. Skype, even.
Yeah. Ah. Yeah. Go figure.
Yeah.
All right. I got to make a note about this. Capture this for tomorrow.
So this show is dedicated to you.
That's right, dear listener.
This show will be dedicated to you.
All right. We're going to call.
Okay.
Oh, it hurts. Let's see. Add people to this call.
Oh, and Jester. Happy birthday, Jester.
Who's Jester?
Jester is in the temple. Yep. He is a web designer. And at some point, will be helping me with the new look of Coverville.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Nothing like getting a little help from the community on that stuff.
No, I need it. I need it. I'm so busy doing other people's websites, I can't even do my own.
Can't even do your own damn site. Oh, it's Stump a Trek Nerd, and it's brought to you by...
Yes, now it can finally be revealed. The official Nerdtacular commemorative coin set from FantasyCoinHQ.com. Own your piece of Frog Pants history with these two huge 40-millimeter full-color coins. One is even plated with 18-karat gold. What? Keep them in the display box or put one on a keychain or necklace.
Okay. I'll do cool. One's a
circular coin. The other one is like a hexagonal, almost like a dog tag. They're really, really cool.
Hmm. All right. Well, there you have it.
Oh, we don't have a link here, but you go to... FantasyCoinHQ.com, and you'll see it right there on the front page.
Yeah, go there. Why don't we have that? Oh, we do at the top, I guess.
I guess we do at the top. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's all right.
We didn't end with it.
Daryl, what you doing, Daryl?
Oh, I'm just waiting for the call, and now it's here.
Dutifully waiting for your daily regimen of Trek trivia. That's good. Mm-hmm. You know, last week was really one of the worst trivia weeks ever because, A, I think it was too easy, and B, it was all videos at the end instead of audio clips. Hey, guess what? The day we missed last week? We're putting in a new video today for we're going to do it as if we never missed it. So here it is. It's still Picard week in our heads. All right. It's a new week after this. Tomorrow we'll be back to some other normal stuff. But right now you're going to have to bear with this one. All right. So here it is. In the Next Generation episode, Starship Mine, the Enterprise is undergoing maintenance or maintenance to, that's what he wrote, to remove built up baryon particles. He wrote built up. I have to always clarify that so that people don't think I'm being dumb here. The entire crew must be off the ship during the baryon sweep. I remember this. Picard goes back to get something and notices an open junction box. A man comes back out and says he is part of the crew doing the sweep. Picard says nobody should be on the ship once what piece of equipment is in place. So there's something that has to be in place, and once it is, nobody should be there. Is it the beam regulators? Is it the sensor grid? Is it the baryon emitters? Or is it the field diverters? So the beam regulators, sensor grid, baryon emitters, and field diverters.
No one should be on the ship after this piece of equipment is on here, except me.
Except me. I'm
the captain. Because I'm on here talking to you.
I'm already bald.
There are two of us.
That's right.
There are two men.
So while you consider your options there, you two, because I'm not allowed, are going to try something today. Maybe. I don't know.
Where did I park my paw?
Not you, lady. Go away. Stop.
Oh, no.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
All right. Do you guys have your chocolate handy?
We do. Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm fine. Well, you don't have to eat it.
You could just put it in your mouth and swish it around.
It's up in the fridge anyway.
Oh, okay.
And even that wouldn't be good because I'm a little nauseous.
Lick the chocolate.
Ugh. My guts. I want new guts. One that won't make me sick. One that don't cost too much. Or mess with my... What? All right, anyway.
I don't think that is what Huey Lewis had in mind.
No, it is not what he or the news had in mind. I think even the news would disagree with me.
Well, let me ask you this, Scott. Are there any flavors that you wouldn't want to try? Maybe that's what we do, is we do like...
Are there different flavors you can get in there?
There are lots of different flavors you can get.
So, all right.
There's different flavors that you can get?
I knew I had that handy.
Yeah, so I think the ones we have are the cassia, which is milk chocolate fresh cream with a touch of honey and cassia cinnamon. We have a Brazil, sweetened Brazil nuts, almonds, macadamia nuts, and orange peel.
Okay. Oh, do I have to open this to see that?
Yeah, so we have a refreshing white chocolate passion fruit ganache.
This is so fancy, I was scared to open it.
We have espresso, dark chocolate ganache.
There's pictures on these.
Yeah.
On the chocolates. Like there's somebody's fancy tie.
It's one that's got like a big chunk of violet on it.
That's not good. That's weird. Or is that good? I don't know. Maybe that's good.
Well, you guys pick.
The first one you mentioned is one I would normally really like. So maybe we won't do that one.
Espresso, I think. I don't see you.
No, I don't want an espresso. I can't. Caffeine is
dark chocolate, espresso, right, caffeine. All right. Daryl, do you see the one that's got a little picture of a coffee cup on it?
Oh, yeah. I see that.
Let's do that one.
Okay.
Give it a shot. See what you think. Masticate for us.
By the way, these come from Ryan and JK, who say, we hope you enjoy this local treat, although not necessarily weird. The chocolate shop's claim to fame is that it was happened over by Donald Trump, who now uses them exclusively to supply his chocolate Trump bars for his guests and functions.
Oh, wow.
Thanks for the excellent entertainment, geeky information. You guys make the commute awesome.
What are his functions? What's a Donald Trump function? Like a golf thing, or a tournament, or a banquet, whatever.
Exactly.
Fundraiser, whatever.
These chocolates are huge.
They're huge.
They are the best chocolates ever in the world, in the history of the world.
They help grow my totally fake knot hair. All right. Well, what do you think? Are they good? I'm sure they're fine. I'm sure they're great.
They're very good.
Do they taste like a bad comb over or no?
That's got a creamy center, kind of, sort of.
It's a ganache for sure.
A ganache?
It's very good, but you would not, the dark chocolate and the coffee you would not like, Scott, so we picked a good one today.
Not a big coffee flavor guy.
This one looks like it has a piece of Starship hull stuck to it. It's all sparkly, like metallic.
The purple one?
Is that purple? I guess so. Purple metal.
Purple
metal chip.
It's my favorite Sting sequel. Or not Sting. It's Prince movie
sequel.
Like
a little sequel. Meteor stuck to it, right?
A little meteor?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow, that doesn't sound good. I'd have to see it.
A candied violet leaf.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to take your word for it.
Pretty good. All right.
Don't mind me yawning. I didn't get any sleep. What? What'd you say?
Me?
Yeah.
I said,
Thank you to Ryan and JK.
Oh, all right. You just said the thing that you should say. Very nice. I like it. all right. Well, with that in mind, let's roll on back to what we... What else do we do here? Oh, we do birthdays, and Daryl's probably got one of some kind. What do we got there, birthday boy?
That would be Louise Strange... Not Strange. Ah, I keep saying that. Maybe I should just forget this one. Louise Stange Wall.
Stange. Wow. All right.
Stange.
Okay.
Strange. Got a little bit of stange on you.
Yeah, no doubt.
64 today. President of the Leonard Nimoy fan club in the early 80s.
Oh. He has his own fan club. Wow.
Actually,
do all the other cast members of the original series have their own separate fan clubs, do you think? I mean, at this point, the internet kind of has killed the old idea of fan clubs. I mean, they're still there, but it's a different kind of thing. It's not like a dude who makes a newsletter or sits in his house in Ohio and does it all the time.
Right. This, you know, single space, tiny typewritten. Black and white photocopied a million times.
So it seems to me that that's a lot easier to get done now. But well, good. Well, grats to him. Is he still into it? Do we know? Is he still stalking? Or not stalking, but, you know, dedicating a chunk of his life to Leonard Nimoy fan?
Well, this was a lady. As far as I know, she's probably still a fan.
What's her first name again?
Louise.
Oh, I thought you said Louise.
I probably did.
Yeah, I think you said Louise.
I was thinking Luis Guzman.
Yeah. Or Luis, yeah. That dude from Sesame Street that ran the shop after Mr. Hooper died. Wasn't he? That was his job. His Hooper died and then he took over, right? I think that's what happened.
I think so.
That's right, yes. Mm-hmm.
In an effort to bring in some racial diversity. And I always liked Luis. Whatever, man. If you're going to ask me what my favorite character that was non-Muppet on Sesame Street, it's a tie probably between Luis... And the guy, the pie maker guy that would always go, turn chocolate cakes and fall down the steps. I used to think that guy was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They don't do those anymore. All right. There's a whole generation of kids who have no idea what the hell I'm talking about. And it makes me super sad.
I know. Who'll never get to grow up with those older episodes, those 70s rockin' episodes.
Yeah. Will they ever hear 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12?
Sure. I'll bet you they still use that.
Really? You think?
Oh. We go back and we make our kids watch all that. And right now, Violet's favorite thing is the Ladybug Picnic.
Yeah, the Ladybug Picnic.
And that was, by the way, that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the pinball song.
Yeah.
Pointer Sisters.
No way. Really? Yeah. Oh, that's great. How about the typewriter guy? He typed a bunch of words and then get killed, basically. Like, there's so many fun, stupid things. The Ladybug Picnic is great. How about the little girl that has to remember to go get a loaf of bread, a thing of milk, and a bucket of chicken, or whatever she had to get. I don't remember her for three things. But that little cartoon they would show about her remembering her list of things to pick up from her mom at the store before she got home from school. There's so many of those little things.
Mm-hmm.
Or just Grover trying to get the order right for that guy with the mustache.
Mm-hmm.
The blue guy. So classic. The blue guy, right.
The Muppets that imitate the phone, the aliens that hear the telephone ring and try to imitate that. There's something that the kids won't understand because that's a phone.
Yeah,
that thing with the circular piece on the front.
That's a rotary phone, son. Shut up, Grandpa. Anyway, good times. May it ever be remembered by at least some of us. Let's move back over to the point of this whole show, which is Daryl doing trivia. And your question was, what device did they have to have in there that made everybody have to leave or else it was dangerous? These beam regulators, the sensor grid, the baryon emitters, or the field diverters?
I don't know. And I think Iceworm knows I hate technobabble, so I hate this question.
Yeah. Well, at least you have a chance of getting it wrong for once. That'll be good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have circled C, and I have put dashes by D.
You've circled C and put dashes by D? What does that mean?
I don't know.
Okay.
But I did that.
I drew a star and a smiley face next to A.
I'm going to take...
As we know, that represents the leopard. What?
Is that guy still alive? I thought he just died.
No. No, he's still alive. Third Eagle?
Who was it that died? This the crazy person.
Hold on. Third Eagle. Death. All right.
I'm probably all totally wrong.
Yeah, he's still around. He hasn't died. Yeah, he just made this video, so yeah, he'll be with us a bit longer. I think he's in his early 70s.
And there's a podcast called The Morning Stream that incorrectly predicted my death, which is the first sign of the leopard.
That's right.
As we know, the number four.
As we know. His whole thing is as we know.
Yeah.
As we know.
As we know, it becomes a coffee cup on a piece of chocolate.
Exactly. You know what he would say is the number of the beast today? Because it used to be 666. You know what it would be today, Daryl? Be this.
1930.
I can't get it to stop.
The year of the beast.
The year of the beast, 1930. That is when jazz, as we know, is the music of the leopard. All right. Daryl, back to your damn question, damn it. Tell us what your dashes and circles mean. What's going on?
I don't know. We'll take C because usually if I think something's right, I circle it. So I don't know. C, I guess. I don't know. What is C?
The baryon emitters? What's that one?
Those are on the ship? I thought those were sending particles to the ship.
I don't know. I mean, that's what they're doing, a barium sweep. Or baryon, not barium sweep. That's what your doctor does. It's a baryon sweep. So baryon emitters emit baryon rays or whatever they'd be called. So it seems like that would be a thing.
So
it would
emit, dumb.
If you're sweeping with baryon.
What was D then?
Why D was field emitters? Field diverters.
Diverters?
Bless you.
It's nothing to sneeze at. Okay. Oh, I don't like any of these answers. What was A?
A was the beam regulators.
Oh, he's gone. Oh.
No, you're here. You just lagged out for a minute.
Yeah.
Okay. Why would you need that on a ship? I mean, doing this thing.
Well, who's gonna regulate the beams if they don't?
Right. Exactly.
Right. Who's gonna emit barium?
Just gonna be all over the place, unruly, causing trouble.
Yeah. All those undiverted fields running around. What are you gonna do?
I hate this. Okay, B. What's B?
Sensor grid. Is that
no,
your answer?
That's always there. No, that's always on the ship.
Okay.
These are all stupid. C then, whatever. C, no, D. I don't know.
Which one? Pick. You pick. Just say a letter.
D.
All right. Is he right?
No.
Congratulations! Right. You're a winner!
What a bunch of crap to get to the right answer.
It's the field diverters. You were almost wrong like six times. Picard knows something's up. The guy tries to attack Picard, but he ain't going to have any of that crap, says Mike. He throws his saddle, the thig he went back for, at the guy and gives him a Vulcan nerve pinch. Later in the episode, Picard takes out the rest of this guy's homies. Oh, he's using homies again. Here's a video of them talking, and pay attention to the guy he's fighting. It's Tuvok, all right? Tuvok's in this episode.
Someone left this ODM junction box open. I thought your crew was supposed to be off the ship once the field diverters were in place. The diverters have to be synchronized.
That totally is him.
I was laser bonding a backup link. I see. Well, I'd better let you finish up so that you can get off the ship.
Picard, he smells something's up.
Excuse me a minute.
Oh. Wow. He went to get a saddle, I guess.
Yeah.
For a horse, and he threw the saddle at him. That's great.
Yeah, because, you know, apparently you can't get, you know, on whatever planet you're beaming down to, you can't get a saddle. Replicator can't make a freaking saddle.
Yep. And it looks like he's giving him a nerve pinch at one point, which is ironic since he's the Vulcan later that could give you a nerve pinch. Think about that. I'll put that on Twitter. I had a little screenshot of it there. There you go. That's your answer. And Daryl, way to go. You guessed correctly. And I think everybody out there will agree.
You will agree.
Daryl has gotten it right more than he's gotten it wrong. Tomorrow we'll try it again. Daryl's the Trek Nerd on Twitter. He's also This Week in Trek's own Daryl Skeels. And he's on the show called The Grumpy Cast. Sorry, just Grumpy Cast. I hear a meeting going on somewhere. That's great.
Are you in a conference room?
No. Well, sometimes I think the whole place is a conference room.
Yeah. is it really important stuff they're talking about? Are we going to be subpoenaed in some sort of something?
I doubt it.
Okay, good. They don't want me flying right now anyway. I got rumbly guts. All right, Daryl, it'll be fun to do it again tomorrow. Let's play a little game called what?
Star Trek jewelry or type of wood.
Type of okay. wood or Star Trek. We're really getting a lot of mileage out of this one.
Mm-hmm.
All right, go ahead.
Rimu.
The adventure begins.
I lean toward Star Trek, but
Rimu.
But that could be wood.
Yeah. No, let's go with Star Trek.
You think so?
Yeah.
You want to see if my instincts are worth
poo
today?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Daryl, go. That's my leanings. We say Star Trek.
Okay. Rimu is used in furniture and home.
I cut him off because that sucks, man. I can't believe I got that wrong. I was sure of it.
Wow.
Nothing's going my way.
Unceremonious hang up right there.
Goodbye there, Daryl.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news.
The Nerdtacular boxed coin set. Show your frog pants pride with this challenge coin and keychain necklace. Numbers are limited, so get yours while they last. Wearing void is prohibited. Wearing void is prohibited.
What does that mean?
Okay. I don't know. What does it mean?
I don't know.
FantasyCoinHQ.com.
Wearing void is prohibited. Don't ever wear void in public.
I guess so.
Florida inmates have done something that's funny.
Mm-hmm.
They've smuggled a gun into prison for the most Florida reason ever, says this headline. We know this because Deshandre Billups, that's a name, dude.
Yeah, Deshandre Billups.
Deshandre Billups and Kirk Cartwright. Cartwright! I saw him last weekend in something.
Really?
John. Yeah, that guy. What was the movie, though? Oh, I watched Mulan for some reason. I'm in a Disney mood lately, and we watch Mulan, and he's the petulant dude that helps the emperor out. Well, he doesn't really help him. He's kind of terrible, and they fire him at the end. Anyway, he's in everything. You got a movie with Asian people in it? Hire that guy.
He's the guy you hire, yeah.
What's his name?
James Hong.
James Hong, that's it.
Thank you, ironic name.
I find him endlessly entertaining.
I do, too.
I like him in everything he's in. He was in, I also watched some Jason Statham movie that wasn't very good, but.
Seinfeld, four?
Four? I said Seinfeld, nobody come, I hang up. let's see, the two Florida inmates, these are inmates, prison inmates, these two, along with five others were arrested Tuesday in what authorities describe as a plot to sue the Florida Department of Corrections, according to My Fox Orlando. The department began its investigation in March after Billups and Cartwright were shot with a .22 caliber Beretta inside a Columbia Correction Institution in Lake City. Cartwright, 33, and Billups, 26, told guards that they were shot by an unknown assailant while they were praying in their cell. With the help of friends, family members, and a third inmate, the suspects allegedly smuggled the semi-automatic pistol into the prison through the mail. According to the Florida Times, they allegedly had plans to shoot themselves and then sue the prison in an effort to settle for reduced sentences.
Nice.
So they played innocent like they were shot by somebody else, but really they shot themselves so they could sue the freaking prison.
Orange is the new brown eye.
Uh-huh. Exactly. By the way, we got to episode one of the new season there. I know you're done, but
Boy,
that first episode takes you to all kinds of places, doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh,
I didn't think it was dark as everybody said, though. I thought it was, I don't know. It was interesting and surprising.
The first season, you know how, there's a lot of lighthearted, not lighthearted stuff, but I mean, there's a lot of comedy injected into the.
There's a lot of quirk.
Right, quirk in the drama. Boy, but when she's at that other prison, there is no quirk.
Yeah.
Well, very little quirk.
There's a little quirk.
You got cockroaches hauling cigarettes around.
Yeah, and you have the two ladies that are freaking out, and you got the weird one licking her up the face trying to get her birth date.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
There's some quirk in there.
All right, there is some quirk, yeah.
I didn't find it nearly as. Oh, you notice Lori Petty in that.
Right.
She was she got older. I didn't notice. I didn't notice when Lori Petty got older.
That's after Tank Girl.
That's right. Nice. Nicely done. Pleasure. That was really good.
Thank you.
Stephen King. Are you familiar with his works?
Oh, yeah. He's the guy who reads his books poorly on audio tape.
He's the one. Roland came around the corner. He's really bad at it.
I love the guy's writing. I don't like listening to him read his own books.
Yeah, I can't do it. I like listening to George Guidel read his books. That's what I like. That guy's amazing. You ever heard George Guidel read a book? Do you think
I'm
you
not.
Have? Oh, Brian.
No.
Here.
Do you have a clip?
Can I regale you?
Please.
George. Hold on. George. What did I say his name was? Guidel.
Guidel.
Here he is, Guidel. Okay. He will now He will now read something. Here we go. Let's see what we got here. Okay, recorded.
Hello there. I'm audiobook narrator George Guidel. One of my favorite books to record was, well, I'm not sure. I have quite a few books behind me at this point, and
all right, he's now just
wow.
That's just
that
doing
sounds
interviews.
So off the cuff and spontaneous.
Yeah, it did, right?
I didn't see you there. I'm going through my leaflets.
I'm trying to find him reading George Goodell reading because I want to hear him. Okay, here we go. Now you can hear this. So Stephen King reading. Okay, there you go. Oh gosh, I may have to skip ahead. Here we go.
Has a soundtrack.
Sound of bestial triumphant cries. Howls that were not quite words. Eddie's wide and startled eyes met Roland's faded blue ones.
He's just great. Once you hear
he's got a lot of emotion in his reading too.
Yeah, once you hear it, you'll just never want to hear anyone else do it. He's my favorite out there working today.
Cool.
Anyway, that wasn't my point.
Yeah.
Stephen King says he is jealous of George R. Martin's involvement in Game of Thrones. He's jealous, he says.
Is he surprised by George R. Martin's involvement in Game of Thrones?
Well, it goes deeper than this. And you and I, having seen some really crappy Stephen King adaptations for movies.
Game of Thrones, the TV show.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So, gotcha. I mean, we're about
not
to watch
the book series.
We're about to watch Maximum Overdrive and be reminded just how bad a Stephen King adaptation can be.
Oh, boy.
Stephen King is jealous of George R. R. Martin, and he told the LA Times this. He knew Martin had written a few episodes of Game of Thrones, and it might have been what made him get involved in the most recent adaptation of his work, Under the Dome. The King canon has been transitioned to films dozens of times, but in the past he has been less than active in the process. Quote, it's a responsibility to be directly involved, he told BuzzFeed. I sometimes tell people that the ideal situation is if the thing is a success, you can say it's based on my work. If the thing is not a success, you can say, well, I didn't have anything to do with it. Working with Under the Dome King has finally gotten the ability to have the hand in that responsibility. It gave me a chance to set the arc in motion for the season. It gave me a little more input into what was going to happen. I don't think you still have enough input in there, dude. That show's not very good.
Under the Dome?
Yeah.
It needs
to be better because the book is great, but the show is meh. It's all right.
I've never read the book. The
book is really good. I read the book. Huh. I think that wasn't George Goodell. No, I read that one. Read it. Like paper.
Yeah, paper. Paper.
You ever seen paper? Yeah, I mean, there is one huge advantage with Game of Thrones is how much they're directly involving him, but I don't know that I would put the success at that. I think the producers of that show and the showrunners are really, really, really nailing it. Mm-hmm. They just know the material better than anybody else. They know what they want to get out of Game of Thrones, and they're just doing it every season without fail. So as much as you want to say, yeah, George R. R. Martin, direct hand in it. Yes, but
it's also, I mean,
they have vision, these guys.
They're, exactly. Yeah.
Also, I think Under the Dome would have been a better cable show, if you want the truth.
Oh.
It's too sanitized for TV. It's just too clean for a network show.
Boy, isn't that funny? I mean, after seeing all these great shows on HBO and Showtime and Cinemax, all these original programming, Hulu, Netflix, etc., you start watching these network, NBC, CBS, ABC procedurals, and it's like, oh, okay, it's a little,
it's lame,
it's so tame,
lame,
you know?
Yeah. It's not so much. I don't mean that they just need to be all sweary and naked.
No.
I mean that they are tonally, it just feels too safe.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
FX and AMC. I mean, boy, I hate to keep bringing up Justified. I obviously can tell I'm knee deep in the season. I'm actually three episodes from the end of this most recent season. And
five.
Damn, it's good.
Yeah, I know. Of course it is. It's freaking Justified.
Ava is the new black.
Oh, wow.
Well, she's in jail.
I love
Ava's
Anna.
The new orange. I'm trying to figure out a way to say that where it doesn't sound like I'm trying to say something else.
I like Ava. I like Ava a lot. Now, hey, by the way, everybody, I want to just point out that's an example of what some might call a spoiler, but I'm not going to call what you just said a spoiler, that she's in jail.
Oh, yeah. No.
And here's why I would say that. Because I'm like, ooh, really? That's interesting. I want to see what led up to that. Like, I don't have a problem with that. I really don't. I don't have any problem with that.
Yeah.
You saying that. I mean, I kind of know
why
she's
there. Season four, she was in prison.
Yeah. But even then, even if you haven't seen season four, I'm saying is I'm just trying to point out to people.
I see what you're saying.
Everything isn't a spoiler. That's not a spoiler. Sure, that's an exciting, ooh, really? Ooh. Let me get into that then. Find out how she got there. That's all I'm saying.
There we go.
All right, okay. Stephen King, quit being jealous of other people, man. Hey, you know what? This is all he needs to do. Just be super involved in the Dark Tower movie. And you're fine. I'll bet with the success of Game of Thrones, I'll bet they're seriously looking again at that Dark Tower thing being full TV. Like, that would be a great HBO show.
Yeah.
Dark Tower would be.
I would love to see that.
Oh, yeah, dude. Be, oh, my gosh. If they do that right, still my favorite book series of all time. HelloFresh.com sponsoring our program today. You're familiar with them. We've talked about them a lot. At HelloFresh.com, you can get delicious recipes made by real chefs and have the exact farm fresh ingredients needed to make those recipes sent straight to your door. If you are in their area, please do check them out, and you'll find out by going to the website and see if you're if they're able to deliver to you. We've gotten Dave Michael completely hooked on this. He gets it every week.
That's so cool.
Yeah,
that's
he great. Loves it. Visit HelloFresh.com to check if they deliver. And if they do, use the code MORNINGSTREAM for 50% off for first-time customers. At HelloFresh.com, do it today.
If communists have attempted to inject their propaganda into the motion picture, they have failed miserably.
It's Celebrity Poop, brought to you by
Night of the Living Bread. My youngest brother and his friends are making a horror comedy about GMO bread coming to life, and it's hungry for human flesh. They need some extra dough, get it, on Kickstarter to make it as awesome as possible. Shamble on over to bit.ly/nightbread. We hope you rise to the occasion.
I love this. It's like the killer tomatoes. Yeah, it is fantastic. Harrison Ford of stage and screen. We bring him up a lot lately. He's like the Bieber right now of our news cycle.
He really is. Yep. Well, yeah. That's fine. When he starts peeing in buckets, then we'll move on to somebody else.
Yeah, he starts throwing eggs at his neighbor.
Right.
Harrison Ford is now in a wheelchair, and his foot is in a big plaster cast after the Star Wars accident. Seems like this is weirdly not news, but here it is anyway. Harrison Ford has been temporarily confined to a wheelchair following an on-set accident while filming the latest Star Wars movie. The 71-year-old is believed to have broken his foot and his leg.
What? he keeps going into like different, like,
now, they can't get it right. Why? Whatever.
How is this so difficult for people to?
I don't know. It's so weird to me. He was airlifted from the Pinewood Studios to Oxford's John Radcliffe Hospital. That sounds like a place to go. The Queen's Hospital there. Had surgery in London. The actor star, who is famed for performing his own stunts, was spotted for the first time since the accident with his left foot in a plaster cast after being pushed in a wheelchair. Speaking before his accident, the Indiana Jones star described himself as, quote, battered old Ford, but said he prefers to do his own stunts anyway. He says, quote, I keep coming back for more. It doesn't if it doesn't look real on the screen, then the audience does not believe what he sees or what it sees. Although I do my own running, jumping, and falling, I always try to keep myself from being hurt, so I know that will work, or what will work and what won't. He is famous for that. He's always done his own stunts.
Yeah.
Get the hell off my plane, he says. Is that what he said? Get the hell off my plane?
Get off my plane.
Is it just get off my plane?
I think it's just get off my plane.
Off my plane. We're gonna check it out. You got it right here. You ready for this? Here you go.
Yeah.
Air Force One.
Oh. Get off my plane.
There you go.
There you go.
They could have cut out all that part before that, but whatever. That was 97. Wow. All right.
Wow.
That was a while ago. Looper filmmaker, another guy in the...
Uh-huh.
The business, his name is Rian Johnson, spelled R-I-A-N, because his parents are evil.
Because his parents want him to have to spell it every single time he said it.
Every freaking time.
Oh, yeah, my name is Rian Johnson, R-I-A-N.
How do you spell that? R-I-A-N. Oh, no, that's you put a Y there. It's R-I. Imagine if you were Brian, but you were spelled.
Can I just have my double foam extra hot latte, please?
Right, please. I don't want the frequent comer card thing. Looper filmmaker Rian Johnson also did Brick and The Brothers Bloom.
Good. Love those
guys. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, he's a hell of a filmmaker. He is writing and directing Star Wars Episode 8, so the one after this one, or the one. Okay, so here's the deal for some people to understand how it works. There are the mainline Star Wars movies, starting with Episode 7, then there'll be 8 and 9, and so on. Then there are a bunch of offshoot movies that are single one offs, like Boba Fett movie,
Right. Star Wars Origins.
Yeah, kind of like little little offshooty sidey things.
Right.
That they're going to do. Those are separate.
It's so Dark Horse Star Wars comics, isn't it? I mean, because you had like the regular Star Wars series, and then you had like all these one shots. It's perfect.
It's very much Avengers and then individual comic movies. It's what Disney does now. They've got the formula. They're going to apply it to Star Wars. It worked for them with Marvel. It's going to work here. And honestly, I'll say this again. I said it on Friday on Current Geek. I'll say it again. They stole that franchise from Zippy Head over there for $4 billion. That's an absolute freaking steal. They're going to make so much money.
They really are. That is an ATM is what they've got.
It really is. It is an ATM that's just coughing up cash.
Money printer.
It's going to be insane. Anyway, he is going to...
It's a 3D printer that prints gold bars.
That's right. He is going to direct and write it. LA filmmaker Ryan Johnson is going to be doing this. The second installment in the new trilogy of Star Wars films produced by Walt Disney Corporation. A source in the knowledge of the plan said on Friday, Johnson, age 40, who has also written and directed 2005's Brick and 2008's The Brothers Bloom, also Looper, don't forget, will also write the initial script for the third installment, episode 9. I don't know. Would it be 9? Yeah, 9. What? No, that's what's 1X? IX. That's episode 9.
Yeah, it's episode 9. Yeah, IX is 9.
Oh, so he'll also write that. Okay, I got it. This is according to a Disney spokesman who did not respond to our request for comment. So
Roman numerals are hard.
If this is true, what do you think about the tone of his films? Like it's very, it's not Star Wars happy time at all. Like the Godzilla guy doing the standalone movie, he makes sense to me. It felt like a Spielberg Lucas movie to me. And what's part of what I liked about it is it had that kind of epic Jurassic Park kind of vibe to it. This could
have a really, really cool dark, dark feel to it.
Very excited about that whole prospect.
And it probably means we're going to have Joseph Gordon-Levitt running around too, right?
Because he's in all his movies, yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, man. He'll be a jetty. Is that what they call it? That's how they pronounce it, a jetty?
Yes. Hey, I will watch Joseph Gordon-Levitt in anything. I think he is fantastic.
I like him. I don't know if I want to see him in everything, but I like him. Mm-hmm. This is good. I'm anxious to see what this is. And is it a big tonal shift from the first one, like, say, Empire Strikes Back was from episode 4? Episode 4 was pretty lighthearted. Mm-hmm. Episode 5, pretty hardcore compared to the first one. And then it got light again. So it'll be interesting to see if that's what they're trying to do here, is go a little dark with the middle part. I like dark middle parts. Let's move on to Sting.
Who has plenty of dark middle parts.
He sure does. Sting, you know him, you love him.
Yeah.
Sting's children will not inherit his $180 million fortune. That's 180 million euros. I don't know what that is in dollars. Right? Isn't that the euro symbol? Is that pounds?
No, that's pounds right there. So that's like, that's about $300 million.
Oh my gosh, really?
It's a little bit less than double, like halfway between, like about one and three quarters, basically.
He really does live in fields of gold. Every pound you make. Let's see. Sting is no pushover. The 62-year-old music star recently revealed that none of his money will be left to his children. None of it. Sting grew up in a working-class family in Wall's End, North Tynsdale. It seems he wants his six kids to have an idea of what it's like not to be privileged all their lives. Even though he's one of Britain's most successful and wealthiest musicians, he told the Mail on Sunday, that he is fearful of his fortune becoming an albatross around their necks. I told them there won't be much money. I told them. What's his voice? How's he go?
He's got kind of a raspy voice.
Yeah. It's like that.
Not quite as cockney as I was doing it.
That's very cockney. You know what? Here,
that's what I'm saying.
Let's hear Sting saying something.
Okay.
Here we go. Here you go. Here's the icon.
Don't leave that dough to me.
Okay, it's Brian TV, whatever the hell that is.
You know what? After WCW closed,
what?
Oh, he's got.
I was actually
way different place than I was remembering.
This is a different Sting.
That's the Sting the Wrestler.
Yeah, Sting the Wrestler. Not Luther or whatever his name is. What's his name? Gordon Sumner. That's it.
Yeah.
He says, let's see, I told him there's not going to be much money left because we are spending it. We have a lot of commitments. What comes in, we spend, and there isn't much left, Sting told the newspaper. He has a lot of charities. He probably has some tantric sex mobile or something he has to pay off.
Right.
You know what? I kind of like this. I think you do your kids a good service by, no matter how well off you are, by teaching them the value of hard work and what it takes to.
Yes and no. I think that it doesn't have to be all or nothing, right? I mean, I think you can say, listen, you guys will have to work. You guys will have to get jobs. However, your college will be taken care of.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. You'll get an allowance or a trust or something to kind of help make sure that when you're at university that you can focus on your studies, do well, not have to worry about balancing school and a job. And then once you get out of school, you have to get a job.
Yeah. Well, I think his kids are like older than that now, aren't they? I think they're all.
They probably are, because he's like he's 62. Mm-hmm. Wow. Oh yeah, there it says right there.
So I think all this. I think all this comes down to is not let's help get you through college. I think this comes down to when I'm dead, you're not getting a giant inheritance, is what he's
saying. Right, right, right. Yes, right.
I'm sure they're all fine. It's not like they're destitute or anything.
Mm-hmm. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing to do. I don't have a problem with it. I think some of that is always important. Otherwise, you end up with just shitty little kids. You end up with like Paris Hilton. You don't want that. Nobody wants Paris Hilton.
No.
All right. No. So Squarespace is not sponsoring the show today because this isn't their week. So I'm going to cross that out. There is no sponsor there today. But instead, we're going to take a break. When we come back, major spoilers. I think I haven't heard from Steven, so I don't know what's going on. Actually, did he write back? Oh, he did.
Well, we got a list of things to talk about.
Oh, you know what? I didn't get.
Did you not get that?
Oh, no, I did get the one that came an hour ago. Is that the one you got?
I don't know when he sent it, but 7:39 a.m. about an hour and a half ago.
Okay.
Yes,
this is the one. Then. Yep, I got it. Okay. So we'll have Steven. That'll be good. I like Steven. So we'll do that after this and some emails and stuff. So before all that music.
Yeah, this is a very long email, so I'm going to paraphrase it. But basically, Ted from Sweden, who goes by the name Tzalex in the Tadpool, had some difficulty back in 2008 at the age of 14. He was having problems in school. He was having problems with his family at home. He was testing well in school subjects, but he just wasn't putting forward the effort. He was unmotivated. However, World of Warcraft kind of was the thing that turned him around, as well as The Instance and everything Frog Pants since. So basically, he discovered us through World of Warcraft and then The Instance and then the morning stream.
Nice.
He's turning 20 years old today. He's doing much better in everything.
This must have been a long email. It must have been.
It is. I'm scanning it and like totally kind of pulling out other things.
Totally fine.
His request. I'm a huge fan of metal, and bands like Metallica have had a huge influence on me. Any covers done by Metallica would be awesome. And he mentions a couple obscure covers that that he recommended. And we actually are going to be playing an obscure cover by Metallica.
All right.
Anyway, let's see. Love the show, though. Ted from Sweden, to Zalex and the Tadpole. Yeah, if you want them read on the show, folks, keep them reasonably short. I mean, I'll read some longer emails, but this one's very, very long.
Yeah.
All right. So a couple years ago, back in 2010, Ray Davies of the Kinks, whose birthday it was a couple days ago as well, put together an album called See My Friends, and it's basically him doing Kinks covers with a bunch of celebrity guests. And on one of those songs, he gets Metallica to join him. And it's funny because I just did a Kinks cover story on the most recent episode of Coverville. So if you like this song, go back and listen to the most recent Coverville, and you'll hear much, much more of it. The song also was very popularly covered by Van Halen and Oingo Boingo, but it's great when you hear Ray Davies, the original vocalist, kind of getting together with Metallica to do a new version of it. Here are Ray Davies and Metallica from the See My Friends CD from 2010 with a cover of You Really Got Me.
Oh yeah, you really got me now. You got me so I don't know what I'm doing. I always wanna be by your side. Yeah, you really got me now. You got me so against the bad night. Yeah, you really got me now. You got me so, I don't know what I'm doing now. Oh yeah.
Seen a man penguin walk after an intense mating season? Have you? When a man's pants freeze as rock solid as mine. Let me tell you, my friends, even that was nothing compared to the ice cold refreshment of a Coors Light. Man, my pants were tight. Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
You died tonight.
Morning stream, voiceover man, Excelsior. What's my power, Brian?
You don't have to answer that.
I will, though. He's just got a golden voice. That's
he really
his
does.
Power.
We love him.
Yeah.
I was just going to tell you something. I forgot what it was. I don't remember.
Okay.
All right. So forget it. Let's move on. We got stuff. Right. We got things. Okay. We got people to call.
Sure. Fine.
Steven Schleicher coming right up, folks. This is where, what's her name in the tadpole, tunes out. She didn't like comic books. She always tells us on
Jeannie?
Twitter. She skips it. No, it's the one that helps you with some stuff. Can't think of her name. All of a sudden, my brain just went blank. It's not your fault. I promise. It's me. Person I can't remember. Something name. It's a name. I don't know.
Not Jen Mayu.
No, it's freaking...
It's not B4 Tank Girl.
Dang it.
Jessica Girl.
It's Steven Schleicher on the line.
I don't know.
Hi, Steven.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How are you, man?
It's Monday.
It is Monday. How are you feeling about that idea?
I'm doing okay.
Yeah? Been
just
busy?
Just coming off of a long birthday weekend for my son. He just turned 7.
Oh, congrats.
So, kept him alive for that long. That's got to be a record. That's a record for me, right?
Hold on. He's your oldest.
He's my oldest.
Oh, man. 7 years. Isn't that crazy?
I know. It is crazy.
I feel like I've known you long enough to say that I remember when he was just an infant.
Yeah. We've known each other since, 2005?
Yeah.
2005.
Actually, wait.
Longer.
Yeah. Longer than that? Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. All right. Fair enough, man, because in that year my son was 5, and he is 14, so...
Yep.
Well, hey, Steven Schleicher's on the line here, as you can tell. You can hear him. He's the purveyor of all things geeky and nerdy over there at Majorspoilers.com. He comes on Mondays, and we talk about some of the cool stuff happening in the world of pop culture, comics, movies, and otherwise, and elsewise. And today, I got this little list you sent me, and let's talk, first of all, about this Daredevil deal. Now, we're not talking about a movie reboot, everybody. We're talking about the Netflix deal, right?
Yeah, and I think this is really cool. I really like that Netflix and Marvel have teamed up on this. And the latest news is that Rosario Dawson is joining the cast of Marvel's Daredevil. So we've already got Charlie Cox playing Daredevil. We've got Vincent D'Onofrio, who's been cast as Wilson Fisk. And I think it's very interesting that they don't say the Kingpin in any of the Marvel press releases.
Right.
And now we have Rosario Dawson, who's been cast as a, what does it say? It's a worker in Hell's Kitchen who wants to heal Hell's Kitchen. And she crosses paths with Matt Murdock. And the hero known as Daredevil.
She wants to heal it, you say? The word heal is in there?
Yeah, that's what it says.
Okay, mm-hmm. All right.
Mm-hmm. And it says her role in the series is absolutely critical to Matt Murdock's journey to become the hero we know as Daredevil. So I don't know if this is a new character or if what they're saying, because they don't say any names, if she's going to end up playing Elektra.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's interesting. Rosario Dawson. I guess
she's
okay.
Good.
Yeah, she is
totally,
good.
Yeah.
She could.
Yeah.
I could even see her. Does she? She doesn't have to strap a machine gun on her severed leg, right?
not that they. No, different.
That
different.
Was,
yeah.
Rose,
you're thinking Rose
McGowan.
McGowan.
Oh, Rose McGowan.
Rosario you're Dawson, thinking, Sin City.
Sin City.
Oh, right. Zario. Oh,
hot.
Here she is. Hold on, I'm checking
yes,
her out.
Yes, ironically.
Oh, she's lovely.
I remember the gif you sent.
Yeah, she was in that second. She's in the second Clerks movie.
Yes,
that's right. How I know her most, probably.
Yeah.
And Sin City and a bunch of other movies. She does a lot of indie work, but she's really good at it.
All right. Well, I'm into that.
Lovely woman.
Yeah.
Great,
she'd be
great, good actress. Too.
She'd be a total full-on Elektra, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
She looks like her. She was born to be Elektra. Let's put it that way.
She doesn't look Greek, though.
No, that's going to be the biggest problem. But then again, neither did Jennifer Garner.
All you have to do is put a little mole on her face. She'll look Greek. She'll be fine. Isn't that? Wait, hold on. Is my stereotype not right? I thought all Greek people had a mole on their face. No. All right. Well, I can tell you that there's a chain of restaurants here in Utah, a burger kind of thing that's family owned, and they're owned by all Greek. It's an all Greek family owned thing, and everyone in that place, and I'm not kidding, I'm not just being stereotypic here, everybody has a mole on their face. Big black mole. Everybody.
That's funny.
I'm trying to, I wish it was more stereotypic, but sure. It's just the way it is. All right, well, that's good news. And we talked earlier on Celebrity Poop a bit about Rian Johnson writing and directing episode 8. I would really like to know your take on this as a pick, because it's very interesting.
I think he's a great director, and I think Disney and Lucasfilm are doing a good job of hiring actors who are very hot, or I'm sorry, directors who are very hot right now, because it can tap into that audiences. It's not like you're hiring, Kasdan or somebody who may be a little bit out of touch with the audiences that are going to watch this. So I think this is really good. I think it's interesting that like a year or two ago, and I forget which site it was, threw up the rumor that time travel may be involved in a future Star Wars movie. Mm. And now we've got Rian Johnson coming on board as a director.
Yeah.
So that's rather interesting.
Yeah.
But I also find it rather interesting and maybe telling that J.J. Abrams is only doing one movie.
Yeah, that is strange, isn't it?
That's the one thing you guys didn't talk about.
Yeah,
and I don't really know why that is. Yeah. Maybe he broke the golden rule of you don't break Harrison Ford.
And he
did that, you're
don't
out.
Post pictures on Twitter of the chessboard and the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, that's it.
You're out.
So okay, but let's say so. My theory, I still think my theory holds that they want a darker direction for the second one. It doesn't explain exactly. The rumor that he might be around for the third is maybe that's weird that it would also remain dark.
Well, especially if they're doing them one right after the other. Like there's only going to be 2 years in between movies. Or a year between movies that you're going to have directors alternate.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. But I actually kind of want to talk just a sec about this whole J.J. Abrams only doing one. It had not occurred to me. That's kind of a big whoop. I mean, even with Star Trek, he did the second one. I know he's not doing a third.
Well, right. is it? Do we know that for sure that he's only doing one, or do we just know he's not going to be doing
He's not doing the second one. Let's say that.
Right.
He's not doing episode 8, which I think is a big shock. But again, if you're looking at it from the aspect of these movies are coming out, and basically Disney has said they want to have a Star Wars movie every year. Mm-hmm. There's no way that he would have to be involved in two productions simultaneously in order to get them both out at the same time.
Yeah.
Right.
So maybe he's going to be doing episode 7 and episode 10, or maybe episode 7 and a spinoff movie. None of that has been announced yet, but I think it's interesting that we've got episode 7 coming out, J.J. Abrams attached. Episode 8 has been announced. Rian Johnson attached, no mention of J.J. Abrams anywhere.
If they keep this as a standalone trilogy, like they have done in the past, that seems to be the tradition, and then they make more after that or these interstitial ones in between or whatever. But let's say that this story arc is a good, solid trilogy. Mm-hmm. I could see them doing him here, take a break, let Rian Johnson do the middle bit, Let Rian Johnson write the third, but bring JJ back to direct the third.
Yeah, and that may be what happens.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me at all if that happened. And that gives JJ an opportunity to kind of have a break in between and do one of his other pet projects, as he's always got 50 of those going on.
Right.
Either way, all this hubbub and energy and money surrounding Star Wars is exciting to me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was just came out this morning that Lando Calrissian may appear in the upcoming Star Wars Rebels animated series on Disney XD this fall.
No way.
That comes from Billy Dee Williams, who's confirmed that he's voicing the character in the series.
That'll be great.
Who knows what's going to be happening? Star Wars, Star Wars, Star Wars. I think that's going to dominate the next 4 years, 4 or 5 years, more so than any superhero movie coming out of Marvel or DC.
Yeah, I agree. Well, good stuff. Tell me about Django Unchained meeting Zorro. This is a weird crossover.
This is the weirdest crossover I've ever seen. So this came out from Dynamite Entertainment that they have secured the rights with DC Comics to share the Django Unchained character and have Quentin Tarantino write a comic book where Django meets Zorro and have an adventure or something.
Wow.
I don't know what's going to happen, but
Will it be the first comic with 5,000 F-bombs in it? Will that be the plan?
Might be. Well, that may have been Django that did that.
Do they have artists that can draw feet really well? Because we know what needs to happen here.
Oh, what has to happen there, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. So they'll go on adventures. Really, I mean, I assume it'll be...
Well, so, Quentin Tarantino is co-plotting it. It's being written by Mark Wagner, that many people know from Mage and Grendel, and he's also done a bunch of Shadow and Zorro tales. So these two together ought to make a very interesting tale, and if it's a revenge tale, I think that'll make it even more interesting. The thing that's going to be the weirdest part of this is Zorro, if I remember my history timeline correct, takes place about 30 years before the Civil War.
Oh.
And Django's taking place, right around the Civil War time period, just before. So it's going to be interesting to see how these two characters line up in their histories.
Yeah. They've done weirder things like, Next Generation cast meeting up with Doctor Who.
They had Spider-Man meet Red Sonja at one point.
Oh, my gosh. Really?
Yeah.
What the hell was that like?
Yeah. I remember just flipping through the first issue. And I remember a cover solicitation had those two making out, so didn't go too much further than that.
They made out? Great.
Yeah, they're making out on the cover. So.
Well, he likes the redheads. We know that.
Yeah, he does.
He likes them. He likes them super ginger ladies. So, great. Well, this is all interesting stuff. I feel like we're in for... It's weird, because I feel like 2015 is such a big deal for movies and stuff.
Yeah.
But things keep popping up I didn't hear about before that have me all excited. Like, you put up some footage today... let's see if I can find it here. Just recently of some... Oh, I can't find it now, darn it. Oh, here it is. The Asterix Land of the Gods thing.
Oh, yeah. That looks awesome.
That looks great.
People don't know who Asterix is. He's a character out of Belgium.
Yeah.
He's a little Gaul that's around during the time of the Roman Empire, and he just gives the Romans nothing but trouble. They've had a couple of live-action movies and 2D animated movies that have come out based on the characters. And the characters are, 50 years old, something like that.
Sure.
And now they've got a 3D movie coming out. It's only in French, sadly.
Yeah.
But, man, Asterix and the Land of the Gods looks fantastic. And I just wish more people in America knew about the character and thought of the character to make it more popular. Because I think this would be an awesome movie to land in theaters. And if you watch that little bit that they showed on M6, you will see... just how great the 3D animation is in this project.
Yeah, it looks awesome. But all these things, you just keep cropping up. It's like Star Wars, Star Wars, Star Wars. But then there's like, oh, no, wait, there's a couple other little things here in that year or toward the end of this year that should get us all excited that maybe we aren't paying attention to. So
2014, a good year for movies. How about 1984, a good year for movies? I've always said that 1984, 1980, in that time period, was one of the best years for movies. This past weekend. Now, today, 25 years ago, we had Batman landed in theaters. In 1984, here are all the movies that were in theaters on this past weekend. All Ghostbusters, right. Gremlins, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, Rhinestone, more or less, The Karate Kid, Star Trek III, The Search for Spock, Top Secret, The Natural, The Pope of Greenwich Village, Beat Street, Romancing the Stone, and Police Academy.
Wow.
So you could go to if they had multiplexes back in 1984,
yeah, they
you
did.
Could see more than four.
Sure.
I think they had them, but they were like,
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, it wasn't like 16 theaters. Or 20 yeah. or something.
Right,
yeah.
exactly.
Yeah.
It was like
multi-track eight.
The Sloan's like six theaters. Woo, yeah, yeah. They have six. But I mean, all those were in theaters simultaneously.
All like simultaneously. Oh, now, the ones that opened this past weekend mm-hmm. would have been Rhinestone, The Karate Kid, Top Secret, and The Pope of Greenwich Village. All the others had been out within the month of June for about 3 weeks. Indiana Jones, Temple of Doom had been out for 5 weeks. Romancing the Stone for 13 weeks.
Oh,
so,
my God.
You know, this is a time period where, man, you could go and just see some of the best movies that ever came out in 1984 all in the same
wow.
weekend.
I agree.
So, okay, well, then I know exactly what I was doing 30 years ago. It was, me and Don Mosby were taking a couple of girls that we met at the lake to go see Karate Kid.
Yep, I remember seeing that opening weekend and being right at the end of the cutoff line of the first God. Showing. And they're like, everyone behind you, you're going to have to wait 2 hours. Oh. We'd already been in line for about an hour when they came out and started counting it. And I had to sit in the very last seat of the front row in order to see Karate Kid. And you're just looking up at the screen, watching Elizabeth Shue run around on the screen with Ralph Macchio. It was a great experience.
Well, right? How crazy that I don't remember Karate Kid being that much of an event movie that there would be a line to see it on opening night.
Oh, it was huge.
Yeah.
Wow. You know what it's like? It reminds me.
Pat Morita, the power of Pat Morita.
Yeah, they're like, hey, yeah, man, yeah. I remember Happy Days. He was awesome on there. No, I think what it was, it's what's happening now with that Cancer Kid movie. It's just these things take on a life of their own, and everybody.
The Fault in Our Stars.
Yeah, and the word of mouth is so palpable and powerful that you can't withstand it. And I remember even as a kid going, "Yeah, this Karate Kid deal is a big whoop. It's a big deal."
It was a big deal for us. I mean, we saw it, and then we almost wanted to turn around and see it again, but came out of the theater. There's another line sold out. So.
Yeah. Plus, then you got to wait like 9 months for video for VHS back then.
Well, let's see. 9 months, you would have had to wait longer than 9 months for VHS in 1984.
Yeah.
It wasn't until Batman, which again, this movie that came out today, 25 years ago, it was the first movie to have a 3 month release before it hit on VHS.
Oh, wow.
And it totally made the movie theater owners angry because they're like, we expect movies like this. I mean, the Police Academy had been in theaters for 14 weeks at this point.
Yeah.
You know, they're saying, hey, we want to make sure that this movie's still in theaters. And of course, the secondary market was upset. And Warner Brothers just said, nope, we're going to put it out on VHS. And we're going to do something else unheard of at the time. We're going to release it for $19.99 and not the $80-$90 bucks that people were having to pay for a movie if you wanted it.
Yep. And things suddenly, have changed so much, man.
I mean, that came out in October. I mean, it had just barely been out of theaters, and it was out in October, November, and people just went nuts to buy up that movie. So.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Good times.
Next
right?
year, you got your Back to the Future that very next year, by the way,
yep.
in 85, yep. that July. Mm-hmm. That was also a big, giant freaking deal.
Yep.
Anyway, you know, all those people are still alive. That's one thing that I like about Back to the Future. Everybody who is in it, they're still alive.
Yeah.
All of mm-hmm. them. Every single one of them. Even the oldest among them. Christopher Lloyd, the clock tower lady, they're all around.
Save the clock tower.
Love that lady. She got killed in that movie we saw. What movie did we see? Oh, it was Hellraiser, I think.
Oh,
she was the house.
Right.
What do you call her? Who are they? Realtor. She was the real estate agent.
Right.
Anyway, always good stuff coming out of Major Spoilers. It is truly a fountain of never-ending possibilities. People should go there. MajorSpoilers.com, MajorSpoilers on Twitter. Steven, anything else we should mention?
Nerdtacular, watch for my team to win. Woohoo!
Yeah. Who's on your team again? Who's with you?
Nicole.
Yeah.
Brian Dunaway.
Yeah.
And Old Man Franks.
Okay, that's a pretty good solid team there.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel pretty good about my chances with me, Justin Robert Young.
No.
Okay.
Oh, Principal Strickland is dead, by the way, in Back to the Future.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
Oh, I like that guy.
Yeah.
He was in He-Man, speaking of Nerdtacular.
Oh, back to your team. Have you guys
I don't know.
Put up a volunteer for singing?
I think everybody said Nicole, but I think she's like, no, I don't want to do it. So I think it's still Nicole.
All right.
Well, I will give you the hint or the information that two things. Number one, whoever is going to be doing the singing, I'm going to tell them what the song is ahead of time so they can make sure they know the melody. I won't tell them the words they're going to be using. Second of all, it's only going to be in the final game. So if you throw your match, you can guarantee that no one's going to have to sing.
Oh, good point. Yeah.
I'm not going to throw my match. We're in it to win it.
Let the Wookiee win. It'll be fun. Awesome. Well, there you go. Steven, thanks, man. It's always a pleasure to hang out and talk to you. And I
you.
Can't wait to see you next week, man.
Yep, definitely.
We'll
looking forward
later.
To it.
All right.
Bye, guys. Bye.
That really is next week. Right? It's the end of next week, but it's next week.
Crazy. Yeah, week from Friday.
Think about
not
it.
Not ready.
We have a sponsor in the likes of tweakedaudio.com. They love us. We love them. We've had them forever. It feels like years now. These guys have been wonderful to us, and you guys have been great to them as well. And you've supported us by going there and checking out their sweet audio earbuds and accessories. They make sweet stuff, and they make it for you, and they do it on the cheap with a great code. They make it all lifetime warrantied. Compatibility and noise reduction are a priority, as well as engineering and style. Go check them out. TweakedAudio.com. The code STREAM saves you 33%. Let's do emails. They're brought to you by...
Stop by FantasyCoinHQ.com and check out the Nerdtacular Collector's Coin Set. Pick them up from our site or stop by our booth. Don't forget to have Scott sign the box. Sorry, Scott. FantasyCoinHQ.com, bringing your fantasy to reality.
I don't mind signing. It's fine.
Sign the box.
I know I'm going to be a lot happier... when I don't, when I'm not full of drugs anymore.
Yeah, of course. I'll be alive. By the way, we have corrections in the tadpole. The guy who played Principal Strickland is still alive.
He is the homeless guy.
It's the homeless guy on the park bench who's
the guy that
kind of partially wakes up when the DeLorean flies by. Is that the guy?
Yeah, he's the. I can't believe they're counting that. Fine, weirdos. Fine. Weirdos. Yeah. African Americans are afraid of snakes and lizards is the subject line of our first email. Or are they? Remember we asked this question. Are they afraid of snakes and lizards?
Right, right.
And a possum wrote in and said, hey, Scott, because let's go back so people don't think we're weird here. I had somebody in my extended family say, the first part of his conversation was, hey, so you know how blacks are afraid of snakes and lizards? That's how the conversation started.
The opening to their conversation.
So we've put the question out there, you know, can someone confirm, deny, add to this conversation or whatever?
Right.
I think it's a complete hokum, but this is the video they're basing it on. So I'm going to play a little bit of this. This is, I forgot the guy's name, but he's a reporter. Dallas, I think, is where he lived. And they're handling snakes and lizards on like a morning show. And while he's holding the snake, a lizard jumps on his suit and he freaks out. It's a very old viral video. Here's how that goes.
Can I find this in Arlington?
Oh, good grief, yes.
Oh, boy. Let's see how long it is. Let's hold it out.
This guy is probably close to 5 feet. Texas rat snakes are going to be one of the largest snakes that you find in the Metroplex area.
What the f***? Get this thing off me, man. Get this thing off me, man.
All right, so...
That's great.
That, I think, may have been the sole source of his question. Whether or not that video was indicative of all black people somehow. I think that's really what he thought. That video alone
was representative. That's awesome.
That somehow means all black people are afraid of snakes and lizards. Anyway, guy wrote in and says, it may be late to the game with this one, but the evidence did show up on my Facebook news feed. Have a nice day, possum. And that was the video. So check it out, chat room. I just put it in there for you.
Nice.
Dear Skink and Boa. It's another email about this very thing. Mm-hmm. Hello, my name is Steven. I'm at my job or at my job, Sidewinder Steven, because I have the best job in the world working with all kinds of reptiles. That sounds awesome.
That is, yeah. You know, Sidewinder Steven.
We were talking about like dream jobs the other day. Mm-hmm. I thought it'd be fun to work in like a zoo. I know it's probably not.
Well, this is even better. I read a little bit ahead of the email here and wait till you hear what he does. This is so cool.
Let's give this a shot. I take reptiles to different types of events and birthday parties. And in my experience, black people seem to be less scared of reptiles, lizards, snakes, etc., than us pasty white people. They seem to think they are really cool looking and are always trying to touch/hold them. I don't know if this goes for every black person because to hire my company, you probably would be afraid of reptile or wouldn't be afraid of reptiles to have me bring 60-pound boa constrictors to your house.
Right. So basically you have a party, you have some sort of event, you say, you know what this party needs? Mm-hmm. If this party's going to need some reptiles, you call up his company.
Yeah.
And then he comes and brings these cool things to your party for people to hold and like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm holding a boa constrictor.
What a cool job.
Totally cool job.
Love this. He says, thanks for doing what you guys do. I love listening to all your shows and I take care of 75 reptiles here. It makes the poop filled days not as bad. Thanks, Steven. P.S. Look for my emails if any more reptile questions pop up during TMS. Shameless plug for my company if you want to say it on the show. Of course, it's called Reptiles Alive LLC. And we perform in the D.C. area. And his name is S. I don't know why I put...
Which is funny because at the beginning he says, hello, my name is Steven.
Yeah, I'm just going to change that. There you go.
I think he sent us a box of food to try on the show. It's just a box full of little white feeder mice.
Oh, yeah. Mine, really? Because mine look like weird, strangely long, elongated turds. So I thought maybe... I thought I'd wait.
I got the before, you got the after.
Oh, okay, nice. Great. Wonderful. Speaking of which, I got to feed my snake. I'll be hungry.
It's not a euphemism.
No, it's Norman, my snake Norman. Dear Superman and Batman, my theory, this is Helaman Higley. I hope that's a real name.
I do too.
Helaman Higley.
Helaman.
That's like my favorite ancillary Harry Potter character right there. Dear Superman.
Hey, when he got the put by the sorting hat into Hufflepuff,
oh,
it was one of the best scenes in the movie.
It was, especially that first. I mean, he was only in the first book, but wow, what a treat that was. Dear Superman and Batman. My theory for your incident with the two bikers while you were running is as follows. This is the day I was jogging and the guy was going, on your left, on your left, on your left.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah.
So he says they weren't angry or douches or what have you. Rather, he finally saw Captain America 2 and he was quoting the movie as he and you passed on the left. He thinks he was just referencing the Winter Soldier scene at the beginning of the movie.
It definitely could be the case. Yeah,
doubt it. I think that guy was just telling me to get the hell out of the way, even though I was totally the hell out of the way. But thank you, Helaman Higley, and thank you everybody who sends us emails. TheMorningStream@gmail.com is our email address. Use it liberally, and we will read your stuff. Keep them short and fun like those were, and those are good examples of the kinds of emails we like. It's going
to
do it. Yeah.
I tend to, when I'm riding, I've been doing a lot of bike riding lately, and I tend when I'm riding my bike to not only say, you know, coming up on your left and thank you as I pass them if they do scoot over to the right. A lot of people don't even like acknowledge, you know, they go over to the right and then they're just...
Yeah.
But I still, like, if there's an oncoming bike, I'll give them the nod or I'll say, hey, or I'll say good morning. And bicyclists will always, you know, almost always respond back positively. Yeah. Joggers, runners, walkers, even if they don't have earphones in, I would say 60% don't reply. They act like they don't hear me. They just
being put
me.
Out or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. There's something about being a pedestrian that makes people feel indignant. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that is.
I don't know what it is, but boy, it certainly seems to be the case when I see it.
Some fun psychology at play there.
Certainly.
All right. Well, that's it. We're done here with the show. Ooh. I would like to point people's attention to, if they're looking for old shows and old episodes and our first 200 episodes that are not, or no, I'm sorry. You have 200 most recent episodes on this feed. If you're looking for the rest of them, of the 620 plus, you get that on a separate feed on the site, which is at frogpants.com/TMS. It just kind of alleviates the size of the RSS feed we use for the main one. So if you're trying to get all the old stuff, it's totally there. You just manually subscribe and you're good. Email us, themorningstream@gmail.com. On Twitter, follow Brian at Coverville. Follow me at Scott Johnson. Follow the show at Morningstream. It's going to do it for us. Brian, should we do music to get the hell out of this joint?
Yeah, for sure. By the way, the Tadpole, the Morning Stream sleep quiz, the straw poll shows that over two-thirds of you sleep on your side, only 21% of you sleep on your back, and a lowly 11% of you sleep on your stomach. So there you go.
All right. Those 11%ers, how you doing, man? What's going on over there?
How you doing, tiny? How's your neck?
Are you 4'3" and sleep on clouds? Like, how you doing it?
Do you have one of those? See, I could do it if I had one of those massage tables where your face goes through the table.
Oh, the little donut at the top.
Yeah, I could do it then.
Yeah, then I could do it. That's the problem. It's the neck, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It's totally the neck.
Give me a dip where I can just hang my neck into an abyss.
If I'm sleeping on my stomach, I cannot have a pillow.
Yeah. Plus, I get stuffy that way. I don't know. Whatever. There's a lot of problems with it. All right. Music. There's no problems with your music. What the hell?
Not at all. This one's going out to John. Dear Scott and Brian, on Father's Day, my 87-year-old grandmother passed away. Mm-hmm. She had 7 grandchildren and 11 great-grandchildren, leaving a heck of a legacy. She was married for 71 and a half years to my grandfather, who is still with us but suffers from dementia and was unable to attend the funeral. She was one of the most loving women I've ever known. She was loved by everyone who knew her. And in honor of her and my grandfather, I would like to request a cover of Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah. I will leave the choice of the cover to Brian. Thank you. Love the show. John David Shanks. I think I've played my fair share of covers of Hallelujah. I don't think I've ever played this one on TMS. I don't even know if I've ever played it on Coverville. But it's one of the songs in my library that I have the most versions of. I think I've got like 40 or 50 versions of Hallelujah in the library here. But this one's a very different take on it. A lot of people go the Jeff Buckley route, which is the slow, acoustic kind of, you know, Katie Lang, Rufus Wainwright version that you hear. This one's very different, and it's by Bono. He actually recorded this for a 1995 compilation of covers for Leonard Cohen called Tower of Song. It's Bono from U2, folks, and it's his very different cover of Hallelujah.
All right. Was he wearing big bug-eyed dumb glasses when he sang it?
He was. They were probably tinted yellow.
Of course he was.
If I remember.
Octung baby. All right. Here it is. It's Hallelujah. We'll see you guys tomorrow for a brand new deal in a whole week, really. We're not going anywhere unless I'm... I need to be quit being so negative. I just feel like garbage.
Yeah, come on, man.
I feel like garbage and not the cool band. Garbage. I like them.
Right.
They're all right. But if they felt like me, they wouldn't even be on stage. All right. Hallelujah, everybody. Hallelujah. We'll see you tomorrow.
I heard there was a secret chord that David played to please the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do you? It goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift. Baffled King Composer, Hallelujah. Your faith was strong, but you need a proof. You saw her bathing on the roof. Her beauty in the moonlight overthrew you. She tied you to a kitchen chair. She broke your throne, she cut your hair. And from your lips she drew the Hallelujah.
podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Don't listen to him, Gloria. He's lying.
Can't get enough of that
He's lying.
He's lying.